700 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. It hasn't felt like Southern California in Southern California over the last few days. ABC meteorologist Greg Durta has more.
While Southern California gets a break, it's a 24-hour break at the very most, as another little wave is going to move in for them. But this system continues its coast-to-coast track, bringing severe weather into the south. By later on this afternoon into the evening, those storms become linear. Now, that reduces slightly the tornado threat, but the high wind threat is very high, especially along I-35 and west of Oklahoma City.
Meanwhile, more than 300,000 customers in Michigan remain without power after last week's ice storm. Two people killed and three others hurt in a shooting at a memorial service in St. Paul, Minnesota Saturday. Authorities have not made arrests, but they say they do not believe the shootings were random. Commemorations in Lower Manhattan as today marks 30 years since the deadly 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, nearly 8 years before the 9/11 attack. This is ABC News. Nearly 30 million Americans bracing for a significant cut in their monthly food stamp benefits. After about 3 years, the federal government is ending the pandemic-era payments for low-income families on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, on March 1st. Brittany Griner appeared at an award show Saturday, a little more than a year since the basketball star was arrested in Russia. ABC's Brian Clark has details.
It was a big surprise when Brittany Griner appeared at the NAACP Image Awards.
It feels so good to be here, especially with my beautiful, amazing wife and with all of y'all here today.
Courtesy of BET, Griner's wife Sherelle also spoke.
We are just truly so thankful to all the people, many of whom are Black women and Black-led organizations who fought so hard to bring BG home tonight.
Griner, who was released in a prisoner swap in December, urged the audience to fight to bring home every American detained overseas. Brian Clark, ABC News.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal government is considering tougher air quality standards for soot. Environmentalists in Wisconsin say it's a start. More from Mike Moen.
The proposal brings the annual standard down from 12 micrograms per cubic meter to a level between 9 and 10. Jadine Sonida with the Sierra Club's Wisconsin chapter says it's a step in the right direction, but still inefficient in addressing the effects of this pollutant.
I think it's a huge missed opportunity. There are so many folks who don't have to be impacted by this that we could help protect.
Opponents of updating the standard in the manufacturing industry say they're already leading the way to improve air quality and don't need additional rules. The agency is holding public hearings this week and accepting public comment until March 28th. An independent scientific advisory committee for the EPA had recommended a standard between 8 and 10 micrograms per cubic meter. Patrick Drupp is director of climate policy for the Sierra Club. He says that's what the agency should be going with.
Over 63 million Americans live with unhealthy particle pollution spikes, and 20 million live with dangerous levels of particle pollution year-round. So it's not a small amount of people who are impacted by this.
And Sonida says with Wisconsin still home to several coal-fired power plants, there's greater concern about the communities that surround these facilities having to deal with issues such as coal dust.
Any of these industrial sites emitting pollution such as this, there'll be local impacts and folks who are bearing the brunt of the negative outcomes.
The group says these industrial sites are often located near marginalized communities, perpetuating environmental injustice. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Look through your children's eyes, and you'll see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree, they see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. When they discover the forest, their imagination is inspired by the smell of pine, the crunch of leaves beneath their feet, the sound of birds calling out for attention. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating forest world. You are the hero in this book. This is a memory being made. This is what they will laugh about years from now. These are the roots, grounding and nourishing them.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Then look through your children's eyes and discover the magic all around you. That's discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson.
When you guys are out here talking about, oh, you know, the roads are tough and, you know, it's, here are some issues in Wisconsin, like election map. You know, talk to me when you get inside an alien spaceship and actually talk to an alien, okay? Because that's something that I'm interested in, because that's what Wisconsin families want to know. What's going on inside with those little guys?
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Did you shovel yourself out of your driveway this morning? Did you get stuck in a snowbank? Did you have some chili with too much pasta in it last night
that
like
was
I
so
did?
Funny.
Pro tip, if you look up a chili recipe and it doesn't have pasta in it, don't think you can just use all of the same ratios, and adding a box of pasta will not just make it into pasta with chili as the sauce.
You added an entire box of pasta?
I did.
Yeah, that's a little much.
That's too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was too much.
Mm-hmm.
I had no supervision. And so it was still good. It just wasn't what I thought it was going to be.
Or like a chili hot dish.
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing, Jane Mednar?
I am good. I want to share something that I saw on my way into work this morning that I have never seen before.
Okay.
In all of the years I've been driving in terrible weather to get to work and from work. So as I'm driving out to Waukesha today, I make a turn and there is a car turning behind me. Now, what a pain for people who have to park outside.
Yeah.
Because their cars get covered with snow. And so this guy had a good 4 inches of snow on the top of his vehicle. And as he turned, all of it slid onto his windshield, completely covering the windshield. And it's so heavy that his wipers could not get it. So he actually stopped traffic because he couldn't see.
Was this on a... This
it happened this morning.
Was it on like a side road or was it a busy street?
It was on Barstow. Yeah. So he actually completely stopped traffic because...
He didn't even pull over?
He couldn't see.
Oh, wow.
So I kept driving. I don't know what happened.
Did you call someone to tell them that he was driving that?
Who would I call?
Didn't have a bumper sticker, so call my wife. Tell her I'm driving.
If I had a number, I would have called. But just a tip, maybe as much of a pain as it is, and I know it's a pain to try and, you know, brush all that stuff off, especially because this stuff weighs like 9,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
But just keep that in mind.
I had the feeling of being very appreciative for the very gendered roles we have in our marriage. I came downstairs after I was prepping for today's show, and Mike walked in just totally covered in sweat. Because he had not only shoveled and snowblowed our entire area, he did like the whole block.
That's so nice. My husband will do that too.
Yeah. And so I think, and so then he had a well-deserved nap.
Cool.
So he laid down almost immediately after doing that.
Yeah.
And so.
It really though, if you have elderly people in your neighborhood, you may want to give them a hand today because this is the heart attack stuff. It is. It's really heavy. It's deceitful. you know, because it's only a couple of inches. So if you can help out a neighbor, that would be good.
Yeah, we really didn't get hit with that much. And it didn't seem, I don't know, I can't tell what it was like up north. But as far as for us,
this wasn't terrible.
I got home safe. We all got home safely yesterday.
Yep.
We stayed inside this morning. I was a little like, there was a little bit of that kid element of, ooh, are we going to get a snow day? It's going to be too hard for Jane and I to get into the studio and I get a day off. But no.
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 We are here.
We're here.
And we have guests,
too. And we have a great show. I am so excited for this. He's going to make my job easy today. So at noon today, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, 43 years of journalism.
Wow.
Been retired now for 2 months. George Stanley is going to be here for the full hour. And so I have already started crowdsourcing some questions that some journalists over at and journalists and editors over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel told me that I should ask him. But we're going to have a very freewheeling conversation as far as what's next, his career, how journalism has changed, how Wisconsin has changed. Apparently he has a really good Bart Starr story. So we'll hear some of his favorite stories.
Oh, but I bet he's got dozens of them.
Yeah, and so he's going to be in studio for the full hour from noon to one. And so definitely stay tuned for that. And also, if you have questions for him as someone who, you know, was the editor of, well, he worked at the Sentinel and was there through so many changes of the merger between the Sentinel and the Journal, and then obviously being taken over by Gannett and then being the editor and all the different things. So if you have questions for George Stanley, text him in now, 844-967-2789. And then right before that, at 11:30, former candidate for U.S. Senate and current executive of Milwaukee Bucks, Alex Lazary, is going to be here because he has also announced that he is running a PAC in the next political move for him after running. And so he's going to join us via StreamYard, and so he'll be on the live stream. We're going to talk about, you know, because I think some of it was interesting when this first was announced, I think a week or so ago, maybe it was just last week. And I think there was a little bit on the heels of Mandela Barnes announcing that he was doing a PAC. And so I'm going to definitely ask him what the appeal is of having this be kind of the pivot for so many candidates after their campaigns end. But also, you know, he's a New York guy. That's where he grew up.
Right.
And at least in the article that Bill Glauber wrote for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he made it pretty clear that him and his wife and their daughter, like, he's staying in Milwaukee. And so I think it's interesting to see, like, you know, when you can live anywhere, why you choose a place. And so we'll have a good conversation about that. But to start off, you know, I saw a handful of these headlines, and any of them would have been prime candidates for the ticked off tee off. But then I said, well, why pick one when we can just play three headlines and a lie?
Fantastic.
So, Jane Matinair, I am going to read four headlines. Three are real. One is not.
Okay.
See if you can pick which one is the lie. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves unsure whether providing mothers health care would help their health. That is number one.
Okay.
Headline number two. Lawmaker censured for asking if fatal child abuse saves taxpayer money.
That's quite something.
That is quite something. Number three, sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to the Agriculture Committee.
An abortion bill. Measure.
Not for cows. It's not whether you can abort cows.
This is a women's health care bill that is going to the Agriculture Committee. I just want to make sure I understand. Yep. Okay.
And then finally, cops apologizes for pro-life cupcake day by offering free scoop for every abortion.
But cops, the ice cream people? Custard.
Custard.
The custard people. All right. Three of those are real.
Three of those are real.
And one is a lie.
One is a lie.
Can we go through them once more?
We sure can. Number one, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves unsure whether providing mothers health care would help their health.
Okay.
Number two, lawmaker censured for asking if fatal child abuse saves taxpayers money. Number three, sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to Agriculture Committee. And finally, Cops apologizes for pro-life cupcake day by offering free scoop for every abortion.
I'm tempted to go with the abortion bill going to the Agriculture Committee, but I can actually see that happening. So I am going with the cops story as the lie.
You are correct. That was a headline written by our friends over at Wisconsin News Today. We actually did cover that story of cops. I think this was over the summer when they, or maybe in the fall, when they, there's a pro-life cupcake day. And so they made that a flavor and then they immediately took it off and changed it. But then they wrote an apology and then the apology got way more attention than the initial declaration of having that flavor. And so this was a joke satire from Wisconsin News Today.
Which
We love them. They've been on the show before. They are very funny. I highly suggest following them on social media because they have some pretty great fake headlines. But all three of those other ones, real. All three of those other ones, real, and happened in basically in the last week, which is something. And it's really just something because you think about all the people involved in those stories very much consider themselves pro-life people. When they talk about Governor Tate Reeves saying there's not enough data to know that extending postpartum care actually helps women after they have babies.
There's not enough data?
Not enough data.
There's none whatsoever.
We'll take these little one by one. We have about 2 minutes left. We'll just start with Mississippi governor of the state with one of the highest maternal mortality rates. Governor Tate Reeves on Thursday reiterated that he really wants to help more mothers and babies. After all, it's the right thing to do, the post-Roe abortion ban in Mississippi. What with their third world levels of infant and maternal mortality. But he's not sure spending $7 million to draw down tens of millions of federal dollars to provide thousands of mothers with 12 months of postpartum health care instead of 60 days would help them. He needs more data.
Oh.
More study on the issue.
You don't want to rush into things like this.
But providing $10 million in tax credits for crisis pregnancy centers that provide no real health care but counsel women not to get abortions, even though they're banned now anyways in Mississippi, and give them diapers, well, apparently that would be money well spent. It's unclear what data shows that. So $10 million in tax credits, but $7 million for extended postpartum care? Too much money. We need more data.
Yeah, can't do that.
Whoo! Pro-life. Let's help the mothers.
Right, because we love life.
We love life. We want to support mothers. And welcome to Mississippi. So that is number one. We will dive a little bit deeper into the other two headlines that were real, very real. The Alaska state senator who asked in real life, in session, whether or not taxpayers would save money, would it be a benefit to society if children who were victims of child abuse died?
I have sound on that,
oh,
by the
great.
Way.
Great. And then the other one that was very much real is that in Wyoming, they are sending their sweeping restrictive abortion bill not to the health committee, to the agriculture committee. Ticked off, tee off. This is it. As goes Wisconsin.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figuerella, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. the dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
Wanna be in the headlines. Anything to be in the headlines.
Summer chance. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. Coming up after this segment, Alex Lazary will be joining us to talk about his new PAC that is focused on mayoral and county executive campaigns. It's called Next Wisconsin. And then at noon, George Stanley, former editor of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, will be here in person for the full hour. It's going to be a great conversation. But right now, in the ticked off tee off, we played a fun game of three headlines and a lie, pro-life edition, pro-life in quotation marks.
Yeah.
We already covered one of the real headlines, which is that Governor Tate Reeves of Mississippi, unsure that providing mothers health care would actually help their health, needs more data. And the next one takes us to Alaska. Sorry, I think I said before he was a state senator. He is a representative.
He's a rep, yep.
But Alaska State Rep David Eastman, who's a Republican, asked about the position that it's actually a benefit to society because there aren't needs for government services when a child who's a victim of child abuse dies.
Let's take a listen.
Can you say that again? Did you say a benefit for society?
Talking dollars. Now, you've got a $1.5 million price tag here for victims of fatal child abuse. It gets argued periodically that it's actually a cost savings because that child is not going to need any of those government services that they might otherwise be entitled to receive and need based on growing up in this type of environment.
Through the chair, Representative, I guess that would be the idea, if I can use a really bad analogy, when you hit somebody, you always back up because it's cheaper to insurance. I don't pertain to that, and I'm really, I'm not even sure how to answer that.
You should watch the video because the man who is responding represents children who have been abused. Yes. and all, he was just dumbfounded.
I mean, he said, I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah.
And basically, he has been censured. The only other person to be censured in the Alaskan state legislature, also David Eastman.
Oh, well, he's two for two.
Back in, I saw it in the Washington Post article, and now I lost my spot. But, he thought he did something there. Because he considers, when I was reading about this, he considers abortion the cruelest form of child abuse. This is his belief. So he thought he was extending the argument that because the question gets raised, when you force people to have children they are not financially ready to have,
right,
the extent that government assistance is going to be needed to be able to provide for kids who are now born into bad situations. So he was trying to extend that to children who were already alive and well and grown to the point that they are in foster care or in really bad situations. And this guy was there to basically talk about the argument of advocating for children, and that if they die, the economic impact of that is losing like $1.5 million because of the fact that it's lost wages, right? It's their
earning potential.
Their earning potential into society. And this was the question this guy with a very punchable face thought that was really a gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
He was just playing devil's advocate. That was his text message back to a journalist covering the story. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
I'm just asking questions.
All right. And finally, over to Wyoming.
Oh, this is a doozy.
Sweeping abortion bill will be heard in Senate, sent to Ag Committee. Could you imagine?
I only have one response to this, and that is moo.
I know. So after a nearly two-week hangup in the Senate, the most ambitious abortion restriction bill in the Wyoming legislature has ever considered is back on track. The Life is a Human Right bill, and it's now being sent to the Senate Agriculture Committee, where it's likely to receive an affirmative vote, and a much faster affirmative vote than the concerns over sending it to the Health Committee, where it's still chaired by Republicans, but more moderate Republicans. So they might have asked a couple more questions.
Well, we don't want them asking questions. So let's send it
to the people in charge of animals.
Yes, the Agriculture Committee. If women in Wyoming are not deeply offended by this, I don't understand.
And what I also don't understand is the commitment, even though this is a losing issue. How many times and how many election cycles are certain Republicans going to cling to this and try to keep pushing these kinds of bills through until they realize that even a lot of Republican women do not want this? And this is a losing issue. I mean, I can't wait for Marquette Law School polling to come out, because you know now it will, going into this Wisconsin Supreme Court election, and what they find on what and why people are motivated to vote in this election.
Yes.
And I guarantee abortion's still at the top of that.
I agree with you. And I am surprised that some are surprised that stripping bodily autonomy from 50% of the population is not popular. Who could have thunk that?
Who could have predicted this?
Who would have seen that coming, and why didn't anyone warn them?
If I would have only talked to the women in my life.
Oh, I should have asked some questions, Boy, missed opportunities.
So, reading those, I am happy that we still live in Wisconsin.
Amen.
Right? All three of those are mind-numbing.
They are.
How frustrating and infuriating they are, and how dangerous all of those questions actually are. All right, well, when we come back, Alex Lazary will be here to talk about next Wisconsin, his next political move in a PAC, Political Action Committee. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. It hasn't felt like Southern California and Southern California over the last few days. ABC meteorologist Greg Durta has more.
While Southern California gets a break, it's a 24-hour break at the very most, as another little wave is going to move in for them. But this system continues its coast-to-coast track, bringing severe weather into the south. By later on this afternoon into the evening, those storms become linear. Now, that reduces slightly the tornado threat, but the high wind threat is very high, especially along I-35 and west of Oklahoma City.
Meanwhile, more than 300,000 customers in Michigan remain without power after last week's ice storm. Two people killed and three others hurt in a shooting at a memorial service in St. Paul, Minnesota Saturday. Authorities have not made arrests, but they say they do not believe the shootings were random. Commemorations in Lower Manhattan as today marks 30 years since the deadly 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, nearly 8 years before the 9/11 attack. This is ABC News.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, lost before you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Business like show, business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything that traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And we are so excited for our guest this half hour, Rich Smith, who is the Managing Artistic Director at Over Our Head Players. It's Over Our Head Players, but it's also the 6th Street Theater?
Yeah, so the 6th Street Theater is like a project of the Over Our Head Players. We got our own space. We grew up and just got our own theater, so we named it that so people could find it.
Got it.
Because it's on 6th Street.
So it's on 6th Street. So Jane was strange. I had not heard of this. So I grew up in Madison,
all right,
doing theater there. I am a theater kid.
Love it.
And we have Jane and I have a shared passion for the arts. We have a bucket list today now to do a play together.
Oh, let's do it.
With all of our extra free time that we have.
Oh, yeah.
But eventually we want it. Yeah, so maybe you can help us find a two-person play that we can do together. But Jane was like, I want to get Rich Smith on because the story of Over Our Head Players is so great.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so
thank you.
Why don't we just start with you telling the story?
Rich, get up on that mic for me, would you?
Sure. Can you hear me better now?
That's better.
Is this okay? Thank you very much for the Ethel Merman lead-in, by the way.
Of course.
Outstanding. It was like early 1980s, and we had a group of actors and comedians. We actually did comedy sports for a while in Racine and Milwaukee, and we wanted to do some theater, and I had done a couple of things with Janie at the Guild, and we had a friend who owned a bar, and we found a couple of plays, and we started doing theater in the bar, and we thought it would just be this one-time thing, and then it started selling out, and the bar's full, and the bar owner at the time loved it, you know, because he was making a lot of money on drinks, and our green room was upstairs, and backstage was actually in the bar itself. So they would close the bar, hang up curtains, and then open up the side room for the audience. And so when we left the stage, we would literally just be standing at the bar. and we would have drinks off stage, and you could smoke in the bar then. So there were some really unique stories about missed entrances and things because we were busy doing other stuff. But
very serious actors. We were very, very serious, dedicated actors.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Andy DeSalvo missed an entrance because he needed one more drag on his parliament before he won. But anyhow.
Because obviously this is a point where you could still smoke inside.
This was the 80s. Absolutely. Yeah, this is the 80s and early 90s.
Yeah. So that went on for 7 years. We did that, and we didn't know what was going to become of it. And we just started saving our money, and we had a larger following. I was kind of going to school part time to finish my theater degree at the time, and so we took the cash and started our own theater. So that's when we started the Sixth Street Theater, and that was 31 years ago already.
Oh my gosh,
wow.
Rich!
Yeah.
I mean, 31 years.
By. I know it. I got a picture of one of the first plays Janie did with us. I should have brought it in. Pictures don't show up too good on radio.
That's true.
Is it from Cheese Louise?
It was from Cheese Louise. Yeah, it was fun.
So what were the kind of plays you guys were, like, how would you choose what you were you doing Shakespeare? Were you doing like Tennessee Williams? Were you coming up with your own shows? Like, what? How would you choose when it was still in the bar? Like, what was like the criteria of shows you would put up?
Well, so Racine is so lucky. There's another theater on the other side of town, the Racine Theater Guild, that is just fantastic.
Yes.
And been there for a long time.
And that's where we met,
right. We were in the Odd Couple female version together. And I wasn't one of the Odd Couple.
Cause I was going to say, wait, huh?
But I'm willing to do that if they ask me. But so we wanted to do things that complemented the other theater group in town because we were friends. You know, it wasn't like a competing thing. So we like to pick things that are a little more on the edge, I guess we like to say.
Okay.
You know, we're not going to shy away from language or subject matter. So we're kind of the off Broadway, and we're built of mostly comedians. So we lean on that primarily. But we're not afraid to do drama once in a while. So we mix it up, and that's kind of how we choose our material.
But Over Our Head Players have also written their own material.
Oh yeah, we do a lot of original things too. Recently, we started doing the series. It's a series now, Kringle the Musical.
Okay.
So we wrote a musical about how Kringle came to Racine, and it went over great. So now we're writing Kringle the Musical Part 4 for next year. And its working title is 7 Mile Fair Lady. So we're gonna see what happens. So we do original stuff. We have fun. We don't take ourselves too seriously, and we've just been fortunate enough to grow this great audience. Our theater only seats about 90 people. So when we do something like Snow Dance that really sells out, you know, we do like 26, 27 performances, you know, just to get everybody in, you know, that we can before we say no, which is a great problem to have in the arts, you know, so we're fortunate. Yeah.
And you're a nonprofit, you're a 501(c), right, Rich?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
So nobody's making, you've been doing this for 31 years since you opened the theater. I didn't see your Maserati outside.
No, I'm still driving a Volkswagen Beetle, Jane.
But we were talking before you came in. Everyone does this because they love it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the wonderful thing about community theater, of course. But you know, theater in general, people end up in theaters because they love it. No, very few of us get rich off of it, for sure.
And so, I want to get back to that because listening to this story, it's like Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I mean, really, it's not, that's the origin story of Steppenwolf in Chicago, is just a bunch of friends And whenever I hear any of those, I mean, obviously some of those actors became very, very famous. Yes. But when they talk about how they started, it was just they were all at, was it DePaul? That they were all at, in theater school, and they just started doing plays.
Yeah.
And they just started putting up, and they would gender, cross-gender and play different roles, and everyone wanted to play different characters, and it was just an opportunity to play the characters that you may not get cast in because you are the ones producing it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so, like, that so much reminds me of that story of just, like, choosing your own destiny by just taking the leap and saying, well, I don't care if we get paid, we're just going
to
do it.
Yeah, we compare ourselves to the Steppenwolf all the time. No, I'm kidding. That was
I mean, am I wrong here as far as the origin story being similar?
I mean, it's similar. The energy comes from the same place, yes. And it's love of theater, and good things come from great energy. And we were lucky enough to have this great group of people, Jane included, early on that just loved doing it, got along together, had fun, and it couldn't fail. So a beautiful thing came out of that beautiful energy, and it's still going on.
We laughed so much, and did. At least the few that I was able to do with Over Our Head Players, we did some of the silliest plays I've ever heard of in my entire
so let's
life.
Hear some of those, because then I do want to get more into Snowdance, because it's going on right now, but it's sold out, so people have to go next year. But I want to get to the origin story of that, but let's hear about some of the fun plays you were in.
Just a reminder, Rich Smith is our guest. He's with Over Our Head Players and the 6th Street Theater in Racine, just talking about the theater and the founding of the theater. And the first one I think I did with you guys, Rich, was Murder at the Howard Johnson's, right?
I think it was. And that play, actually, that was brand new when we did it. And it went on to, it's kind of a popular play now. It's like a dinner theater thing.
Oh, a standard. But, oh, that's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's Murder at the Howard Johnson's, about, you know, a guy who's going to murder his wife to get the money at the Howard Johnson's. That's act one. And then act two is it's in the same Howard Johnson's room where the guy's now getting murdered by the girlfriend he was leaving to go to the wife. I mean, it's just a twisted, goofy, fun story. Yeah, but yeah, I think that was it. Yeah, that was the first one.
The first one, and then the second one for sure was Cheese Louise.
Yes.
And we ended up doing that again because it was so popular, and by far the silliest thing I have ever done in my entire life.
And
it was so much fun.
What is the premise of Cheese Louise?
Rich, I'll let you explain that.
So Cheese Louise takes place in the Wisconsin Dells in the 1970s, where Augie and Louise own their own business. It's the Bump and Pump, which is a bumper car gas station combination.
Someone should create that. That isn't a real thing. Someone should create that business.
It should be. And Chicago, a Flatlander, as they call him, dies on the bumper car machine, and so they're all in jail. And they have to figure out a way to raise money to get a lawyer and get out of jail. So they put on a variety show called the Bump and Pump-a-thon to raise money. And it's just goofy fun, just goofy Wisconsin fun. And it was such a blast. It was actually written by some people in Chicago, a theater group in Chicago called the Illegitimate Players. And we saw it down there in a little storefront theater back in the 80s and went to them and said, can we do this in Wisconsin? And they're like, oh, yeah, take it. Do you need any money? No, we don't care. Just do it. So we
did. That's why all artists are poor.
Exactly. And so we've done that twice now. And Janie reprised the character Momo a couple times for us. And sold out. The whole run sold out each time. Yeah, it's fun.
Have you done it? You've done it both times. Are you going to bring it back ever?
We're talking about it, actually, for our 30th anniversary. Yeah,
really?
We're actually talking about it. Yeah.
That sounds like a great premise.
Yeah. The characters are all timeless and ageless. But you would have to say the Dells is so different now than it was in the 80s, you know. But you'd still have to set it in the 70s. But that was great fun. Yeah.
And so with the it sounds like a lot of the shows are lesser known playwrights or originals.
Yeah.
And so, but what, as far as the actors who end up back then, today, is it equity? Is it just people who live in Racine and want to act? Or like who finds themselves in Over Our Head Players productions?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it's primarily community theater.
Okay.
The vast majority of us are volunteers. We started a program, like a stipend program, a few years ago where we bring in artistic associates for each season. And that allows us to have some really talented people in our company committed to the season, not unlike what a repertory theater would do. And so that helps. So we've got this sort of hybrid of mostly volunteers, but you know, a few talented people we can keep around and use, and that system works well for us. It's such a small space; we don't have huge dollars, you know, to do a whole lot with. So that's the way we run now. Yeah.
And so, do people like people in the community? Is there an open audition?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do an open audition for every show, and it's fantastic. We have new faces all the time. And community, I mean, I think everybody listening has probably got someone, you know, a daughter, a friend, or someone who's performed in community theater or theater in general, or they've been an audience member. I mean, it touches everyone. And when you think about the value to a community beyond, oh, sure, it's going to give us entertainment, a night out, somewhere to go see the guy next door play Hamlet or whatever. I don't know. You can look at it any way you want. But it also reaches out to people like you. Like you say, you're a theater kid, and people like Jane and people, whoever else, who might live in another community if they didn't have this opportunity for them as artists to go and perform. So absolutely, it's all about people in the community.
I would have kept performing or at least auditioning for Over Our Head Players, Rich. It just became geographically impossible.
Oh, it was awful. Yeah.
You know, I was working really early mornings. And
Janie had that morning gig, and she would drive. She would spend the night at my place a couple of times with my wife at the time and crash on the couch. And she was such an early riser because she had all those morning programs that she was doing at that time. You know, can I mention other radio stations? I don't have to. But but it was a joke because, you know, we'd get home from a performance at, you know, 1 a.m. or whatever, and Jane would hit the couch and pass out. And then we'd get up at 8 in the morning, and Jane's already up drinking coffee, talking to the paper boy on the front porch. And
we had some good parties, boy.
Oh,
we had some legendary parties.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall back then. All right, well, we have to take a break right now, but when we come back, let's hear more about Snowdance and how that started, what it has become, how people get shows into Snowdance, because as far as you said, it's 10-minute plays.
Yep.
And it's submissions from all over the world.
All over the world, yeah.
And what year did it start?
It started in 2005.
Okay, so over 17th year?
This is the 19th year, technically, yeah.
Can I not do math?
That's why we're theater kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it was the 04 or 05 season. So
okay.
I guess that's
all right. All right. Now. Well, we'll come back and talk about that. But our guest this half hour is Rich Smith, who is the managing artistic director for Over Our Head Players and the 6th Street Theater. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
When your heart beats like a drum, the closing when the customers don't come. There's no business like no business, like no business I know. You get word before the show has started that your favorite uncle died at dawn. And top of that, your pie might have parted, your broken heart. The turkey that you know will hold, you may be stranded out in the cold. Still, you wouldn't change it for a sack of gold. Let's go on with the show. Let's go on with the show.
I'm 54, so basically, it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference.
Well, right now, saving seems hard to wrap my head around. Plus, with the way this year's been going...
Hey, listen. It's okay. You still got this. Just go to aceyourretirement.org. It's an online tool from AARP that can help you get your retirement savings on track, no matter your age. It's free and only takes about 3 minutes.
I like 3 minutes.
Yeah. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Just answer a few questions and you'll get a personalized plan and tips to help boost your retirement savings. Tips that are easy to understand and tailored to your lifestyle.
I like that too.
Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Just head to aceyourretirement.org and make your plan to start saving for retirement.
Thanks.
That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home.
Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, overcast skies. Overcast again tomorrow. Snow likely. Highs level off around 26. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 38.
Hey, Fox Valley, if you've got a favorite supper club, we're your station, Civic Media.
Make them laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are talking to Rich Smith, who is the managing artistic director of Over Our Head Players in the 6th Street Theater in Racine. And so you're in the middle of Snowdance right now. And so tell people what, I guess tell people how it started and what it's become.
Yeah, so we wanted to do, you know, we like to do new things, different things. And like short attention span theater in general is like, is grown in popularity with playwrights. Like people like writing shorter pieces. So we said, well, let's just do a 10-minute comedy festival, but let's make it obviously comedies. And let's let the audience vote on who they thought was the funniest play. And so years ago, we came up with the idea and we thought, well, maybe we'll get 30 or 40 submissions from around Racine or wherever, and we can tie it together with a little sketch material in between each one and introduce them and take them seriously. And then you know, call our audience judges, as it were. And then at the end of the run, the plays that are the three funniest will give a cash prize, you know, and we didn't know what to expect. And that first year we did it, we got about 150 submissions, and it was like, well, that's pretty cool. And so we kept it going, and every year we average around 500 or 600 plays. The Dramatist Guild is aware of us, and it's really exciting now because Snowdance has been the premiere of a lot of these. So once in a while, you'll see like a compilation of 10-minute comedies, and you open it up, and then the original cast and directors and the inside of the script, and that's always a great honor, you know. So
how cool is that?
Yeah, I love that. Cool. Love that.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And so, of the 500 to 600 applicants, how many do you end up putting up for each season or each festival?
Yeah. So this year we had 720 submissions from all over the world. We've got one finalist that's from Florence, Italy. And it's funny play. So we'll try to do as many as we can, but we like to keep the show around 2 hours. So with a little sketch thing in the middle and then say, all right, now here's play number 5 from whoever from whatever city. Boom. And then we just keep it moving. So we'll do 8 to 10. One year we did 11. This current Snowdance has 9 finalists.
That is a lot of no's. For those people. And so what's the do you read all 700?
Yeah.
Wow.
You do, Rich. You read
well,
every single
honest.
One.
This year I probably I tried to read them all cover to cover. This year I did less of that. I had some other people helping with what we call the triage process. So the triage process is when you take a script and you read it and you say, yeah, it should be reread. No, it shouldn't be read. And then we have a third pile that we call the police. And the call the police pile is usually because it's disturbing, and we want it to be read again for probably the wrong reasons. But
so it's not a consideration. We just need to be able to laugh about it together.
Yes. But this year we had a nice stack on each of the three piles, and but I always try to get through. This year was, you know, I would get through 3 or 4 pages of one, and you can kind of tell.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's really hard, and people take it so seriously, and some people just submit and they don't really maybe they don't know what they're in for, because you can read one right away and go, well, this isn't even a comedy. It doesn't happen too often, but it happens.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, so the triage process is hard, because you never want to miss a good one, because all it takes is that one or two good ones where people are belly laughing to make the whole night, you know? So we always get into one and go, like, I can't give up on this. I got to finish reading it because it might be hilarious. And you get to the last page and go, darn it, it wasn't.
Did not redeem itself. Yeah, yeah.
Our guest is Rich Smith with Over Our Head Players and the 6th Street Theater in Racine in the middle of Snowdance right now, which unfortunately is all sold out. But I want to point out too, Rich, that the actors all play multiple roles.
That was my question.
During Snowdance.
Yeah, so this year we have an ensemble of 12 actors and 9 plays, and I think there's like 40 different roles. So everybody's very busy, very busy. And then, like I say, we tie each play together with a short little sketch bit, you know, where we don't take ourselves too seriously. We talk to the audience, we explain the voting, you know, have some fun in different characters or whatever. And while we're doing that, the set changes going on behind us, and then we go boom right into the next play. So the audience is never, you know, there's never a quiet
moment.
They're
not just waiting.
Never waiting.
Twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah, it's a fun night.
So this will happen. So unfortunately, you can't get tickets, but save it for next year. So then once Snowdance is over, though, do you go back to a regular season of other plays?
Yep. Yeah, so Snowdance is near the end of our 31st season. We have one more season production coming up. We're going to do The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is just fantastic. And we're going from comedy to drama, although it does have fun moments. Yeah. But, you know, it's based on the award-winning novel about a young man who's identifying with autism and going through a search to find out who killed the neighborhood dog. And on his journey, he gets some unexpected answers. It's a fantastic play. We're excited to do that.
That sounds really great.
Yeah, so it's total gear switch from goofy comedy. But, but it's a good challenge for us.
So when does that start?
And that opens on March 24th.
And so I'm guessing that one's not sold out yet?
Not sold out yet, but they're selling fast. So, yeah.
And if people want to audition, Rich, where should they go? And you know, what should they look for?
Yeah, you can get in touch with us through our website, overourheadplayers.org. And there is a I Want to Volunteer tab on that website, overourheadplayers.org. We try to keep things up to date that way. And we also have a volunteer connection group. So if you share your email with us, we'll put you on the volunteer link. And anytime there's an audition or anything going on, we get in touch with you that way.
And I just have to say, if you have time on your hands, if you were looking for a community, if you are looking for somewhere to have some wonderful laughs and develop some incredible friendships, talk to Overhead Players.
Yay. Or any community.
Or any community.
She's not usually this complimentary,
but I love that.
I gotta be
Thank
honest.
You, Jean.
We've known each other a long time. We've known each other for 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So I guess we only have time for one more question.
Sure.
What is your favorite role you've ever played?
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. The Snowdance 10-minute comedy ones are just so fun because you just go out and it's just a big blast and you just have a great time. I had the wonderful opportunity to play Lombardi at the Racine Theater Guild a few years ago, and that was probably my personal favorite.
We're talking about Vince Lombardi.
Vince Lombardi, yeah. So, yeah, how many times can a Packer fan be able to say they played Vince Lombardi?
That's true.
That was pretty fun. That was pretty fun. But I did play Manolo Consensuelo in the female version of The Odd Couple with Jane.
Because I was Oscar. I was Olive.
You were the Olive.
Amazing.
Your character. That's one of my favorites as well. I couldn't let that one go.
Well, check it out. This song, I can't wait to go with you, Jane. Let's go see the next one together.
Absolutely.
Over Our Head Theater, Over Our Head Players, 6th Street Theater. We will link their website to our show notes today. Rich Smith, thank you so much for spending time with us
today.
Thank
you, guys.
I
love the program. I love this energy for this hour that you guys do. Thank you. This is so fun.
All right. Well, stick around for Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian or the Chad Holmes Show. We will be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Douglas LaFollette. welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
Earl Ingram.
Mandela Barnes.
Yeah, the stories that I talked about, stories I share, my own personal experience was not much different from the experience from a lot of other people across the state. People generally want to be able to, you know, exist together in harmony.
Working hard every day to inform, enlighten, and bring our community together. The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250